Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Got a no? But can you hear Jesus? That's what I want to know. And that's what we need to focus on. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk a little bit about. Not a lot. You know, maybe we'll get out of here early. I don't know. But you never know what God wants to do. And that's what we want. We want God to speak. And we want to be listening. So I'm going to just pray real quick and then we'll get started. Father God, I just pray that you would just, as he says, prepare the hearts for all of us to hear what you have for us, God, because that's why we're here. We're not here for each other, and these are bonuses and perks that we get being believers. We get brothers and sisters in Christ to love us, pray for us, come alongside us. But we're here for you, God, to bring you glory, to learn of you, to draw closer to you, God, and know you better. So bless our time, God, and help us to hear from you today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm a little old school. I got it all on paper, so we're going to do it that way. I'll try to get through this. I have quite a bit, but, you know, it could go real fast. I don't know. We'll see what God wants to do. If after the sermon you say, well, you know, I didn't really get that much out of it, then you were probably listening to me and not listening to God. And that's what I want to really encourage us today, to really, again, open our hearts and listen and hear from the Lord what he's speaking to you. Because, you see, every single one of us is in a different place in our life, in our walk. And so what God's speaking to me is different than what God's speaking to you. And we can take the simplest things and God can make it profound in our lives. And maybe a good example of that, I was thinking about, well, what could be, and probably one of the greatest words ever written. And I want you to really think about this when I say this, because this is heavy theology, okay? So, are you ready? Okay, here it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Those are some of the greatest words, you know. And that's the message. And, you know, most of us have probably sang that song over and over growing up. You know, if you've had the privilege to grow up in the church and learn that song. But I think sometimes I think we really need to say those words and really listen and believe what God is saying. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How great is that? And it's so true, and it's so profound that God can speak to us in even the littlest things and teach us in those things how much he loves us. And that's good news. I'm always talking about the good news. If you've heard me talk, you know I'm always about the good news, the gospel, because that's what it's about. You know, how many came to hear from Jesus? But rather, how many brought Jesus when you came? And that's what's important. And we, I mean, men's Bible study, first of all, before I get too far, I brought Jesus, so I'm just letting you know. But there's a reason I brought Jesus. This isn't, of course, it's not really Jesus. It's just a wood carving. But I want to make a point. I like doing hands-on visual things because a lot of times we can remember those things if we have those. And so I think it's important sometimes to do that. I do things different, obviously, than Heath does, and maybe once in a while it's a little change-up, so I wanted to just say that. I brought Jesus, and There's a reason, and you'll see. If you want to look at the scripture, it's very short, but I think it's something that we always need to revisit, and we always need to talk about. And it's in Matthew 16. I got too many papers here. So if you want to turn your Bibles to that, like I say, it's real short, but I think there's a lot that we can learn from it, or a lot to apply. I'm a lot about application and, you know, applying God's word to our life, or rather, I like to say, applying our lives to God's word. Because that's what it's about. God's word is truth. And when God speaks, we need to listen and we need to adapt to that and make God's word our everything as we make him everything. So it's Matthew 16, just 24 through 26, real short. But I do want to make some points and talk about it a little bit. So if you want to, if you're there, I'm going to read it first, and then we'll talk about that. Starting with verse 24, he said, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for his sake will save it." And when I read this and I got thinking about it, and I was thinking about Easter and you know, Jesus, all that he did on the cross, and it was a lot of emphasis on that, and then the tomb and Easter we celebrate, which we should, is the greatest day, you know, of the year. Actually, Easter is the greatest day because Jesus rose from the grave, and we have eternal life because of. And his sermon last week was great. You know, it was perfect, lined up with that. And I just want to talk a little bit about these verses, because I think I titled the sermon, what next? Where do we go from here? Now, we've had Easter, we've had Jesus is alive and he's resurrected. Now what? And I thought about it. It's like, you know what? You know, now it's our turn. It's our turn to come behind him, to take up our cross and to follow him. So I want to look at that a little bit. Verse 24, he says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me," if, here's that question. You know, Jesus is really good about asking questions. If you look at the things that he says a lot of things in a question. And you can even go back to the garden. There's this, you know, this if is like a choice. You know, God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden for a choice. He gives us a choice. If, he says, anyone would come after me. There's that choice. I have decided. We have to choose. We have to make a deliberate decision to choose God, to choose Jesus, to walk after him every single day. Because it don't happen that you just become a great Christian. It doesn't just happen. We have to be deliberate. And I really like that word when it comes especially to being a believer. We have to be deliberate in our walk with the Lord. Because it's not going to just happen. We have to pursue. And it's so important that we understand, and it's a 24-hour-a-day process. You know, I like, in the morning, I wake up, and I like to lay in bed before I get up, and that's some of my time in prayer and just talking with the Lord and having that special time with Him, and He talks to me and I talk to Him, and it's such a great time. And just like we were talking in Sunday school, if you were in there, that, you know, it starts with me, and it starts with my relationship with Jesus Christ. I have to make that happen every day, because again, like we're saying, the enemy will never give up. He'll never stop. And so we have to be deliberate. It's absolute essential, especially nowadays. You know, the world that we're living in and the way it is, just it's incredibly unbelievable. But one of the things for me, and I've talked about this before and you've heard me say this, but I think that the Lord has a place in our lives, and we have to keep Him in that place. And again, that's deliberate. We have to make sure that He is like Joshua. He says, and we did, it was so great because we did this in men's Bible study Saturday morning. Joshua 1 says, only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. You see, when Jesus is in your life and in His heart, or is in your heart, you have to keep Him ever before you, neither turning to the right or to the left. It's a constant pursuit. We always have to keep Him in front of us. Is that easy? No, it is not easy by any stretch. He goes on to say, Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Listen to that. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's all about focus. We have to maintain that focus. We have so many distractions in this life. I think it's gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better, and it's not going to get better. It's so easy to be distracted, to have Jesus in front of us, and then I'm over here, and then I'm over here. But it's constantly going back and keeping Him ever before us, high and lifted up. I love that. That's God's position. That's where the Lord has to be in our life. Isaiah's vision of the Lord. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. High and lifted. You see, that's where Jesus has to be in your life, in your heart. He has to be number one in our life. And if He's not, then we're not what we should be. We're not what we could be. What God's plan for our life is. We have to maintain that focus, and we have to keep Him ever before us. Of course, again, that's not Him, but you know what I'm saying. It's just a visual. Revelation 4 describes the throne and the four living creatures, each of them six wings and full of eyes round about. With day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is who God is. This is a picture of God. God is so awesome and holy, and He needs to be that place in our heart all the time. And it's a constant battle. We'll always battle. We'll never get there. Like Paul says, you know, I'll never get there. But I have to keep running that race, if you will, and constantly pursue him, constantly strive to keep him in that place in my life. No, Lord, no, I'm going to keep you right here, high and lifted up, ever before me. That's your place, God. I want you to be glorified in my life. I want to be deliberate, because the world and that devil, the enemy, is constantly assaulting us and trying to turn us away from that. And we have to ever be on guard, especially in this day and age that we live in. We cannot stress this enough. I kind of look at myself as a cheerleader. I want to cheer you guys on and me on. We got to keep going. We got to keep believing. We got to keep the faith. We got to strive more and more as the days get more and more evil. We have to be deliberate. And so I want to come up here and I want to give you this, and I want to encourage you to be deliberate in your life as I want to be in my life. High and lifted up. That's his place. Get my writing papers right here. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. You know, think about it. We can please God. I've talked about this kind of stuff, but, you know, we really need to let these things sink in. I can please God. Can you imagine such a thing? Pleasing God. Be pleasing to him. I want that in my life. I want God to be pleased with me. And you should want that too. And I believe you do. Because that's his place, is to be high and lifted up. And we have an opportunity. That's all this life is an opportunity to please the Lord, to serve him, to love him, for him to be our God and us to be his people. It's so great when we can get on board and really say, God, I really want to seek you today. I really want you to be in that place in my life. He says, for whoever would draw near to God must believe. There's that word, believe. We're the believers. That he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You see, it's all about faith. Our faith is what is always being assaulted. The devil doesn't want you to believe. He doesn't want me to believe. He doesn't want us to keep Jesus in that place. And so I want to challenge you and myself in all these things, that we need to take up our cross and follow him. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that too. It says to come after him. And again, like I say, it's like as believers, we have to continuously pursue the Lord. And I can remember as a kid growing up, and you probably, maybe you've done this before too, where you've run into the woods, a bunch of us, and if you've ever blazed a trail yourself, it's hard. It's hard to blaze a trail. And we did that. We made a trail for our motorcycles, what we did. But it's hard work. It takes a lot of work. But you know what? Jesus blazed that trail for us. And that's the good news. He has gone before us, and he has blazed that trail. And now we have a path that we can follow with the Lord. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about it's our turn. God is calling us to step up and to take up our cross and to follow him. He has already made the way, and I'm going to change direction. Have you ever seen a drill sergeant? Many of you have been in the military and you had a drill sergeant, and you're going through boot camp, and you're just struggling. You're sweat and blood, and you're tired and all these things. Well, we as believers, we get that way too. There's times in our lives where it's like we're on our face, we're on the ground, we're crawling. You've probably done this on your arms, and you're striving, you're trying to move forward, and It's all you can do to even move. You're flat on your belly, crawling through the dirt. But I want to encourage you, when you get to those low points in your life where you're struggling and your face is in the dirt, that if you will only look, you will see Jesus' footprints in the dirt. And you can see, and you look up, and you follow those footprints. And if you will look up, you will see his face. Because, you know, the drill sergeant, he's yelling, and he's calling you names, and he's doing all these things. That's the devil. That's what he's doing. And he said, you're a loser. You're never going to make it. You're no good. You did that same sin again, over and over again. God don't love you. He's always there. But so is Jesus. You see, we're following him. We're following that path. And we can look for his footprints. And we can look to his face. Because like the devil, who is always there, constantly pursuing us, I believe that instead of following Jesus afar off and looking at his back, I think he's right down there with us saying, come on, Jeff. Come on, you got this. I know it's hard, but you can see I've been down this path. I know where it goes. I know what awaits you. You're almost there. You can do this. Jesus is there for us always if you'll just look for him. I just want to encourage you that that's his place. That's who he is. And he is always there for us if we'll just look for him. Listen to what he's trying to say to you and me this morning. The encouragement that he's trying to give us. Times are hard. Yes, it is. It's a struggle. The path gets steep and the cross is heavy. I can't do this, Lord. I can't do this. But he's always there. Always hold it out a hand. Come on, Jeff. Come on. You can do this. It may be slow and tedious, but you can do this because Jesus has already done it. He's already been down that road. So, you know, again, I just want to encourage you to listen for the Lord. Listen for the Lord to speak to your heart. And he is always there trying to lead and guide and direct your steps and your path. 24 says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, we can do this. We can do this. But we can only do it through Christ's help. And him leading and guiding and directing our lives. We've been reading Spurgeon for our devotional morning and evening. And he wrote something that I just wanted to share. It's really good. I really thought it was worth listening. But you got to listen. And listen with your heart and let God speak to you the things that he wants to speak to your life. He says here, beloved, the cross is not made of feathers or lined with velvet. It is heavy and galling to disobedient shoulders. But it is not an iron cross, though your fears have painted it with iron colors. It is a wooden cross, and a man can carry it, for the man of sorrows tried the load. Take up your cross, and by the power of the Spirit of God, you will soon be so in love with it that, like Moses, you will not exchange the reproach of Christ for all the treasures of Egypt. He goes on, remember that Jesus carried it, and it will smell sweetly. Remember that it will soon be followed by the crown. You see? He says, and the thought of the coming weight of glory will greatly lighten the present heaviness of trouble. The Lord help you to bow your spirit in submission to the divine will ere you fall asleep this night, that waking with tomorrow's sun, you may go forth to the day's cross with the holy and submissive spirit, which becomes a follower of the crucified. Man, I tell you, God just really touched my heart with that, really spoke to me through that. And Spurgeon has such a way with these words, it's almost poetic. But the things that he says here is just, this part, God spoke to my heart, and I just wanted to share it. And he says, by the power of the Spirit of God, you will soon be so in love with the cross. And it's like, how can we be in love with something like that? And can I truly, as a believer, can I truly love the cross like Jesus did? Can I get to a place in my walk, in my life with the Lord, that I can truly love the cross that I bear that is so heavy and so trying? I believe we can, and I believe that's what God is calling us to do, to take up that cross and to bear that and to hoist it back up again and say, okay, I'm going again. And Jesus is calling us to go deeper and deeper, and he wants us to embrace the cross and embrace the suffering, to go so deep with the Lord that it actually can be a thing that we can feel good about, knowing that God is being glorified in it. I like to do song lyrics, so I'm going to share a little bit of that with you too, because I believe the words kind of tell the story. It's called The Refiner's Fire, and many of you may know it. It says, there burns a fire with sacred heat, white hot with holy flame, and all who dare pass through its blaze will not emerge the same. Some as bronze, some as silver, some as gold, then with great skill all are hammered by their suffering on the anvil of his will. The refiner's fire has now, listen to this, the refiner's fire has now become my soul's desire. Wow, that just cuts to the heart. The refiner's fire has now become my soul's desire. Embrace the cross and you will come out the other side victorious like you never knew you possibly could. He goes on and says, the refiner's fire has now become my soul's desire, purged and cleansed and purified, that the Lord be glorified. You see, that's what it's about. That's why God's refining us. That's why we're going through the fire. That God, the Lord, be glorified. That's what this is about. This is about you and me going deeper with the Lord and bringing him glory through our suffering. We all suffer in different ways and different times in our life, but it's to bring about the glory of God. What a privilege that can be if we will embrace the cross. He says, he is consuming my soul. No matter what I lose, I choose the refiner's fire. No matter what. You see, that's where we need to get. That's what God is calling us to go to, that place where we choose, no matter what we lose, I choose the refiner's fire. I choose to embrace the cross and bear that cross gladly for my Savior. You see, it's just an opportunity for us to be able to do that. We're called to bring him glory, and we can do that, and it's a privilege, and it's an honor to be able to do that. He says, I'm learning now to trust His touch, as we grow in our relationship, to crave the fire's embrace. For though my past with sin was etched, His mercy did erase. Each time His purging cleanses deeper, I'm not sure that I'll survive. Yet the strength in growing weaker keeps my hungering soul alive. Such great words that God calls us to go deeper and deeper in our relationship with Him. Yet the strength in growing weaker. So how do we grow weaker? That we're supposed to grow strong. We grow weaker by allowing God to work in and through us, and us dying out. I want you to be ever before me, high and lifted up. I want you to be in your place where you're supposed to be. I want to die out to self and allow the refiner's fire to refine me on the anvil. And yes, it hurts. It hurts. The cross is heavy. We're going to fall down. We're going to fall face down in the dirt. You're going to have those times. I have those times. We do. But we keep going. We look for the Savior's face and keep Him there no matter what. But I can guarantee you this. If you will do that, you will not regret it. I will not regret it. Because He has a reward for us when we get to heaven. But I like to say, heaven is not about reward. It's about God, because God is the prize. God is calling you and me to go deeper, to allow that refiner's fire to purge and cleanse and purify. You see, in the world we live in, if we're going to be Jesus, we need to be these kind of people. This kind of people set aside by God for Himself, purged and cleansed and purified, taking up our cross daily to bring Him glory. I can do this. Lord, only with Your help can I do it, but I can do this. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside and help me and encourage me. Come on, Jeff, you got this. You can do this. You are here for me. And I praise God for that every day. And I pray for you guys too. I do. I should say my wife. We love our church. But God is calling us, especially in this day and age, to go deeper into relationship with Him, to take up our cross and to follow Him. That's what we're called to do. I believe we can get to that place where we no longer question God. And think about it. How many times have we questioned God? But I believe that we can get to a place in our life, in our walk, where all the questions go away. We no longer question God. You know why we don't question Him anymore? Because we trust His hand at work in our lives. We trust Him. That's why. When there's no questions asked, I don't need to ask God. I trust You so much that I won't ask questions, because I'm good at asking questions, let me tell you. But God is calling us to go deeper and to trust Him. Trust His hand at work in our lives, where all the questions just fade away and all we see is Him ever before us, high and lifted up, carrying our cross gladly, hoisting it up on our shoulder and moving forward and keep pursuing Christ. That's what we're called to do. Easter's over. Jesus is risen. Now it's our turn to take up our cross and follow Him. That's what we're called to do. And like I said, it's short, but I just want us to listen to what God is speaking to your heart, because God is speaking to our hearts. And we need to be listening to what he is trying to say to us today. Each one of us is hearing something different. But God is talking. He's speaking to you and calling you to go deeper in your relationship with him, to carry your cross and to say, yes, I can do this, but only with your help, Lord. Only with your help can I do that. To crave the fire's embrace. No more questions. Total, complete trust in God, in Jesus, our Savior and Lord. He goes on, for whoever would save his life will lose it. You can't have it both. You can't have the world and you can't live in disobedience to God. You have one or the other. You're either going to save your life and lose it in the end, or you're going to lose your life for his sake and have eternal life. There again is the choice. Once again, what will you and me do today? Will we seek God's face? Will we seek to keep him high and lifted up ever before us? Will we keep him in his rightful place where he belongs in our lives, in our heart? Or will we choose the world? I'm telling you, this world is not worth it. There's nothing in it that is worth it. Only Christ is what we need in our lives. Surrender, he says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And we have eternal life through that. It's surrendering, letting go of the flesh and the things, the sin that so easily, you know, besets us. And he says, you know, you can either save your life or you can lose your life. Go for it now and pay later, or trust him today and receive eternal life. But we have to confess our sins, repent, believe, and receive. You must be born again. If you're not born again, I want to encourage you, today is the day of salvation. You must be born again. It's the very beginning of any relationship with God. You must, Jesus said it, you must be born again. You see, we're weak because we don't know the Bible. We don't know the Word of God. And the cross is heavy, and this life is hard. And so Jesus is here ever before me, high and lifted up. But I turn to the left and I turn to the right because it's hard, Lord. You don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how. Really? Jesus don't know? He knows, my friend. He knows all too well exactly what you're going through. He knows, and he cares, and he loves you. And he's there helping us every step of the way, day or night. He never stops caring, loving, calling us to go deeper into the light with him. You see, we got... and he goes on, he says, for what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is there to gain in this world? What can we profit and lose our soul for eternity? That's a big price to pay for a moment's pleasure, because his life is compared as a vapor, you see. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What should we be thinking on? What should we be doing? We're carrying our cross. We're following Jesus. And he even gives us the things. I like what Philippians 4:8 says about these things that we're supposed to be thinking about and meditating on. And I'm not going to go through all that, because for sake of time, I'm actually going to let us out early even. But I just want to encourage you today, and that's why I wanted to come up here and talk about what is Jesus' place in your life, in my life. Do we need to re-examine that? Is TV more important, Jeff, in the evening where I could take time to read the Bible, to do a devotional? It's time. It's time. It's past time. Not only to take up our cross, but to embrace our cross. To embrace our cross. You see, we need to go deeper because the days are evil and they're not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We need to know the Word of God and we need to go deeper with the Lord and keep Him in His rightful place. Stop following from afar off. Are we following from afar off? We need to get close and stay closer than a brother. That's where we need to be. That's His place in our life. That's His position. In my prayer life, I like to sit at His feet and just talk with Him and have that fellowship one with another. What a privilege it is to sit at our Savior's feet. We have that privilege. Embrace that. Embrace the cross. Embrace the trials. And you will come out victorious on the other side like you never knew you could. Amen. I want to challenge you and myself too to go deeper in with the Lord and to embrace that cross and be deliberate. Be deliberate. I'm going to deliberately take the time to read my devotion this morning. I'm going to turn the TV off and open the Bible and read some passage before I go to bed. Be deliberate about your relationship with God and keeping Him in His rightful place in your life, because it ain't going to happen if you don't. And if I don't, we have to pursue Him. Keep Him in His rightful place. And it's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week job. You can never let up. Keep Him there. Neither turn to the right or to the left. Keep Him ever before you. Take up your cross and embrace it. And you will never be more happier than you've ever been in your life. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for opportunity. My favorite subject is You, God. I love to talk about You. And I thank You so much that I've had this opportunity to share. But I want to challenge each and every one of us here and myself, God, to go deeper with You, to gladly take up our cross and follow You, because You are worth it, God. You are so worth it. And I thank You so much that we're able to come together as the body and worship You together in song and in spirit and bring You glory. That's the opportunity to bring You glory, God. You are worth it. Thank You so much, God. We love You. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.